Welcome, 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 everybody, to Sit Down with Craig here on 106.1 FM Radio Toledo, Ohio. How's everybody doing today? I hope everybody's doing well. Thank you. I hope your Monday was great. I hope your weekend was great. I'm looking forward to this upcoming weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get right into it today. You know that I am about the community. All conversations that I have deals with people who are engaged in the community, doing things for the community. Whether it's, no matter what it is, youth involvement. We talk with individuals in recovery. We talk with politicians. We talk with just anybody. Even though it's not a political platform, but this is a space. If you got a message to put out there, I like putting it out. And I'm glad that 106.1 WAKT has given me that platform to do so. With that being said, we have, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the mayor seat is coming up soon for re-election. And we have some individuals out there running for mayor, some that you've heard of and some you may have not heard of. And today I've got the opportunity of introducing to you guys a individual who is running for mayor. Some of you may have heard him, some of you may not. Anyways, the gentleman that I'm speaking about is Mr. Harold Harris. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
Thank you for joining me here today on Sit Down with Craig. Let me just really quick, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Harold Harris is a United States Air Force retired individual, 1974 to 1994?
That's right.
20 years. Let me give you a round of applause for your service.
Thank you.
Combat veteran, it says, Vietnam era, peacetime era, Gulf War era.
That's right.
That's right. So you've served in this.
I've served my country. I've actually put my life on the line. And I volunteered. I wasn't drafted during the Vietnam era. I stepped up and I put the time in and felt like, you know, that's something that a lot of people should do. I think, you know, that we got the freedoms that we have today because of the young men and the young women that serve and some that haven't came home. So
right.
Even though I'm a ex-military man, I respect anybody that serves in the military.
That's awesome. Let me give another round of applause for all those who served. That's a beautiful thing. So, Mr. Harris, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Oh, well, we can go back to...
Are you from Toledo, Ohio? Where are you from?
Well, actually, I was raised here since I was 3 years old. My father, he served in the Army for 23 years. So he served during World War II, the Korean War, and then after he got out the service, he retired after 23. He was born in Alabama. My mother was born in Georgia, Savannah. And I was born in Savannah, Georgia, at an Army airfield, Hunter Army Air Force Base. So when we moved here...
You were three when you moved?
3 years old.
All right.
And I lived here ever since. And right now, I'm 60. I'll be 69 this year.
What was it like growing up?
But it was something about, I think, my dad when I grew up. Because of his military history and who he was, I think it rubbed off on me. Because by the time I was 17, I knew I was going in the military. And at that time, I had received a draft card for Vietnam.
So when you say you knew you was going into the military, was this something self or was this something that your dad was like, you're going into the military?
Oh, no. He never mentioned it. He never talked about it.
Okay.
But I think the fact that when you're born, you have a destiny in life. And I don't think anybody can really plan what your life is going to be about or like. God kind of takes you through all these different steps in life. And I think when I was born, if you look back at it, and I look back at it, and I said, what a fluke, because I was actually born on Army base. Mm-hmm. I came out as a military baby, you know what I'm saying? And then by chance, when I turned 17, I'm watching all this Vietnam War footage. And I'm like, you know what? I think that's where I want to be. I didn't even wait for my draft number to come up. I went down, saw a recruiter, and said, sign me up. most people wouldn't do that.
Right, right.
But I was very adventurous, and I think because my dad had served. Now, he never even talked about his military time. He never spoke on it. Mm-hmm. But when back then, when I was watching that military footage from age, I think, doing 15, 16, 17, I was intrigued by it. Mm-hmm. I was really intrigued.
And so his influence really motivated you to make that decision for the military?
He was the start of it.
Okay.
But I think was watching Walter Cronkite when they reported in Vietnam, all that footage.
And you said you wanted to be there.
I wanted to be there.
That's interesting.
I know, it's crazy, but a lot of people at that time, they was leaving the country, going to Canada, trying to escape the draft. I was trying to get in the thick of things because, I don't know, that's just me. I've always been a very adventurous person. I can't sit still. I like excitement.
Right.
I can't just be in a quiet moment.
So how did you choose the Air Force?
I had two childhood friends. One man lived right next door to me, and the other young man, he lived two blocks down. You know how when you're young and you're 15, 16, you run with your boys, you know what I'm saying? We all went to school together. We all did things together after school. So when it came time for us to get close to that age where we was about to leave home, we all sat down one day and said, hey, why don't we all just sign up and go in the military? You know, they had this program called the Buddy Program, where if you sign up with your friends, they guarantee that you all will go in and, you know, kind of go the same place, go to basic training together. But what had happened is it kind of fell through the cracks because you have to take a test to get in. And so my two boys, I took the test, and I think we were all going to try to go into the Air Force for whatever reason. And when they took the test, they didn't pass the test for the Air Force. Then they jumped over and took the test for the Navy, and they got approved, and they went into the Navy.
And you made it.
I made it into the Air Force.
Your scores fitted you for the Air Force.
Right, right, right. And my mother didn't even know I had signed up.
So that was a pivotal moment for you. At 17, you're going into the military.
Yes.
And I'm sure this transitioned you as a man.
Oh, it definitely did. It had an impact on who I am today. I grew up in Secor Gardens right off of Door Street. I didn't know anything about the world. I'm always adventurous. Once I signed up, I went off to boot camp. I went to Texas, went through training, went to tech school, and the next thing I knew, I was at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
So with that adventurousness in you, there was no fear.
I had no fear.
It sounds like it.
I didn't. I mean, for anybody to sign up and say, I want to go to Vietnam, you must don't have no fear.
Right.
Because people are dying over there.
So were you saying as well, I'm doing this for my country, or more was it for yourself?
Well, I think as a young man.
Especially at that time.
As a young man at 18, I think when you do things, you're not thinking about country. That's like at 17 and 16. You thinking about what you want to do, what you want to experience. To go all these different places, to all these different countries. I've been overseas, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Turkey, Italy, France, Luxembourg. I've been in Mexico. You name it. I've been there. Yeah. I was stationed in England for 4 years. I was stationed in Germany for 4 years. Came back to the States. I was at McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey. I was out in California. I was stationed at Travis Air Force Base, you know, on the West Coast. So I was on the East Coast, you know, in Jersey, Atlantic City, that area, you know, saying I spent some time in Oklahoma. I spent some time, you know, in Ohio a little bit down at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
None of this probably would happen. All these traveling.
I don't think.
You have the great opportunity.
Oh, no, I don't.
Especially on somebody else's expense.
On somebody else's dime. I'm doing a real pivotal change in my life. I would have never thought when I was 18 that I'd be running for mayor. Didn't even come to my mind.
Right.
Wasn't even in my scope of thought. But I thought about when we had the Gulf War and when my commander came to our unit and he said, we got to do a briefing. And usually we don't do a briefing like that. You know, he's never called the whole unit into our briefing room. And then he put this map up on the board and it showed, you know, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iraq. He said, we got a message from higher command. We just been activated to go into Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. We probably going to go to war. You need to go home and get your stuff together. So we knew because of the unit we was in, if something went down, we could get activated and go into a war zone. So it wasn't like no big shock. But when he said that and he looked us in the eye, I said, this dude is serious. They called in some 141s. Which is a airlifter aircraft, camouflage, special mission. And they call it, you know, everything in the military is top secret, you know what I'm saying? If it ain't top secret, it's secret. So when they said, we're going on a classified mission, destination unknown. When we went out to that aircraft, I knew something was up because the engines was running. Usually when you board an aircraft, the engine ain't running until after you get on and you all strapped in.
It was ready to go.
It was. He was ready. The engines was humming. And you could see the look on the crew, you know what I'm saying, that was flying and the loading crew.
So that moment for you.
Oh, it was pivotal, dude. It was pivotal. Okay. Because I'm thinking right now, my mother, my sisters, my family, people that know me here back in Toledo, they don't even know what's happening to me right now.
Right.
I was in England, you know what I'm saying, at Mildenhall Air Force Base, where I was, that was my home base at that time, because that's where I was living. And I'm getting on that airplane, I'm strapping in, and I'm looking at, you know, the live ammo, our weapons. I'm looking at the rest of my unit. I could see the look on their faces because at that time I wasn't married. But a lot of the men that I got on that plane with, they had wives and they had children.
So you seen fear?
I saw the fear.
Yeah.
I saw the fear in their faces that they may not come home to their wife and their children. That plane shot up probably at a 60-degree angle. We went up like a rocket because he wanted to climb to ultimate, you know, altitude. Yeah, right. And once he got to that altitude, he was booking. And then that's when he announced we headed to Saudi Arabia and Kuwait.
So it sounded like you could still feel it.
Oh, I could still feel it today. That was probably the most scariest ride that I ever, when we did a takeoff. And I think because of the fact, when you go into a war zone, there's a time criteria that you have to get into the zone, you have to land in the zone, and that airplane, once he dumps us off, he has to get out. And when you go into a combat area, in that particular time, when I was in Saudi, Iraqi was shooting Scuds into that same base. We went to Dairon Air Base.
So let's take that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take that moment that you got that news that you guys are going there.
Okay.
You kind of transitioned that to never even thinking about running for mayor.
Right.
Let's see how you got to where you are today. That transition from that military life events that you've been in
right.
to today, where you are. How did that start?
I was avidly a walker and jogger at Ottawa Park. Well, when I used to go to Ottawa Park, and you probably know this name, Tyrone Riley.
Brother Riley.
Right, right. Your councilman is your first line of defense as far as your neighborhoods and problems and issues that you have. We were always told, if you have an issue, go to your district council person first. See if they can solve your problem. So I said, okay, cool. I'll probably run into Tyrone. And that particular day, it was a nice sunny day, blue sky. Tyrone showed up. We crossed each other on the path. And I said, hey, Tyrone. I said, I'm Harold Harris. I said, I need some help. I said, I live in District 1, and I got some issues in my neighborhood. Can you help me out? He looked up. He stopped. And he says, take care of that yourself. I said, what? I don't believe he just said that.
So from that moment...
That's what clicked me. That's what it's like hitting the light switch. I said, you my council person, and that's how you going to respond to me? So I'm mad. I'm pissed off.
So that took you, that moment, that motivated you to start?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because after he said what he said, then he ended the conversation, and he continued his walk. So I turned my head, and I looked back. I'm like, oh, no, he didn't. He just walked away, too? I said, okay, you know what, dude? I said, if you run again, I'm coming after you, and I am going to try my best to take you out. And that's when people first saw me on the street. When Riley announced he was running, I was already on the streets of Toledo with signs.
So that motivated you. That moment motivated you.
It got me on the street.
That Riley, that got you on the street.
That was the first time I picked up a sign and hit the street.
And you've been doing it ever since.
And that was 2019, for the last 6 years.
Yeah. So he inspired you to start making your voice known through signs, mm-hmm. standing out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Did a good job because, like I say, I didn't know who you were when I first met you. But when you reminded me, I'm the man with the signs out there. I'm like, yep, yeah, you're right. I've seen you. I've blown my horn at you. Because some of your signs I've agreed with on there.
Just by coincidence, you know. I mean, when I was out there and I did what I did with Tyrone, I liked it.
Good.
I liked it. I felt like I was making, you know, because I saw the reaction between me and the people. And it was working. It actually worked.
Your voice was being heard.
It was being heard, and it was heard in the community. And so at that point, I knew me being on the street had a lot of power.
So now, doing that signs on the street, voicing mm-hmm. your opinion with your words,
mm-hmm.
what sparked you to say, okay, let me put my bid in for the mayor?
What was the spark on that?
Yes.
It's always politics, man. It's always politics. You know, Wade Caffey Cabbage ran against Paula Hicks. The Democratic Party told Wade to stand down and stand back. And he told the Democratic Party, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. And then the party said, well, if you run against Paula Hicks, you're not going to get the black vote. He said, I'm still going to do it. I didn't like the fact that he stuck Paula in the back. That's too arrogant, self-serving. He didn't want to wait his turn. But a lot of times when a black man is running for any position, they want me to, you know, even people that came to me, some people say, well, you should run for TPS, run for city council, wait your turn, you know, get some, you know, just do your little time. I said, you know what? My thing is, when the opportunity is there, and this is the way I've been all my life, I'm not a type of person to stand back and stand down. If the opportunity is there, I'm going to seize it. Mm-hmm. You know, why should I postpone my desires and what I think I need to do in my life because you don't think I'm ready? You're not standing in my shoes. You know what I'm saying? And my thought on it is, I tell any young man, if you got an opportunity, you need to seize the moment. Don't wait. Seize the moment.
And this is yours?
This is my moment. And it goes back to my military time. I fought for freedom in this country. I fought so people are free to travel and move in this country. Those are the things I fought for in the military. We all fight for that in the military, for freedom.
Mr. Harrell, let me say this to you. Mm-hmm. You and I are going to have a part two.
Okay.
On all this
right.
conversation.
All right. All right.
I
all
love
right.
your passion.
All right.
And I love your stories. I've got Mr. Harrell Harris, independent, non-committed, Harrell Harris, former mayor of the city of Toledo. He's going to stand his ground. He won't back down. Any final words you want to say for this show on this particular one? This is part one. We're going to have you
okay,
back.
Okay, well,
show.
let's I mean, before we forget about it, this is the primary election coming up in 2025. Early vote starts the 8th of May. I mean, the 8th of April. It's going to go all month. The precinct vote is the 6th of May, 2 days before my birthday. We can change politics in Toledo if you come out and vote. You know, just because the charter failed last November, you still got one more chance. You got one more chance to cast that vote.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, let me give another round of applause to Mr. Harrell Harris. And it's a good conversation. You know, it's good to know about who is putting their name out there, who wants to do their bid for the city. And he gave his announcements. He gave his ideas, his views, who he is. And we're going to have a part two, ladies and gentlemen. I'm inviting, you know, all the candidates to come and sit down with Craig and have a discussion about what you would like to do or would you like to continue doing for the city as well. But again, that's Harrell Harris, ladies and gentlemen, for mayor, independent, not committed, for the mayor of city of Toledo. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to his... He has a website you can go to. It's www.harrellharrisfortoledo.com. He also has a Facebook page you can go visit. I believe it's Harrell Harris for Toledo. Go check it out. See who he is. You know, I love the fact that this man served. He's a veteran. You know, he served this country. So he has some things to offer. And listen to him. Again, so get your vote out. You know, April, May. 6th, when is that early vote starts? The 8th of April, all month. So, you know, let your voice be heard with your vote, ladies and gentlemen. So again, lastly, one more hand of applause for Mr. Harrell Harris. Thank you for joining the studio. I wish you the best of luck. And I wish you blessings for your journey. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the rest of your Monday evening. I'll try to just smooth it out with a couple of songs that are true and dear to my heart. Take care.
the time. Destruction of minds, bodies, and human rights. Stripped of bloodlines, whipped and confined. This is the American pride. It's justifying a genocide, romanticizing the theft and bloodshed that made America the land of the free. To take a black life, land of the free, to bring a gun to a peaceful fight for civil rights. You are desensitized to pulling triggers on innocent lives because that's how we got here in the first place. These wounds sink deeper than the bullet your entitled hands could ever reach. Generations and generations of pain, fear, and anxiety. Equality is walking without intuition, saying the protector and the killer is wearing the same uniform. The revolution is not televised. Media perception is forced down the throats of closed minds, so it's lies in the headlines and generations of supremacy resulting in your ignorant, privileged eyes. We breathe the same and we bleed the same, but still we don't see the same. Be thankful we are God-fearing because we do not seek revenge. We seek justice. We are past fear. We are fed up eating your shit because you think your so-called black friend validates your crime.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? Everybody thinks we're at home. Oh, but who are they to judge us? Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me so you can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on. Right on.
To die.
It's been a long